the last few weeks, you know, we started this year where we kind of closed off last year talking about becoming more like Christ, which is our common purpose, growing in holiness, so that we are more available for God to use us. But basically becoming more like Christ, common purpose. Then last week we spoke about our destiny, our calling, which is unique for each of us. Each of us has a specific destiny that God has laid out, a path that He has laid out before us. The Bible says that we should walk in that path. Unfortunately, we aren't born knowing what that path is, but we, after we come to know the Lord, He reveals that path and He brings us onto that path and He sets us off and we stay close to Him so that we can continuously evaluate, are we still on that path? And our callings are unique because each of us is blessed with unique gifts and a unique people set that we encounter in our lives that we are meant to influence for Him. Influence them from the place where they find themselves now, hopefully closer to the place where God wants them to be. Our callings. And tonight I just kind of want to pick up where we left off there, something a bit more practical. There's kind of, you'd say it's a subsection of that. Okay, it's a quality, it's a action. You can see the title, I'm not talking about a computer game. Okay, first-person shooter, whatever you call it, the Call of Duty. No, but each of us have a Call of Duty placed on our lives. So it's great. We know we must become more like Christ, and we're trying to do that. And sometimes it's difficult. We don't quite know how, as we get to know Christ better, we can imitate Him more and more. But it's like, what does it mean for us here and now? Because we're not exactly walking around the Sea of Galilee. We're here on the Atlantic seaboard. What does it mean for us here and now? We see His miracles and the things He does and His faith. And we try to emulate that and we grow in that. And that's great. And then we know our callings, our destiny, and we know how specific it is. And we try and go for that. But on the practical side, each of us, again, this is a common thing. You know, there's, you'll see, I'm just digressing for a second here. Everything that you're going to be exposed to through this church, the worship and the word, the ministry that's brought, our discipleship course, which is getting you closer to where Jesus is, teaching you about Him, trying to make that applicable and at least applying it through your life. If I have to sketch your life as this huge circle, if I have to just make a drawing, everything you hear from this pulpit fit somewhere in that circle in terms of helping you get to where God wants you to be. Now, a lot of what you hear from this pulpit overlaps with something that you've already heard. You'll see in your walk with the Lord, if you haven't noticed already, everything is connected. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to the things of God and our relationship with God, the different doctrines you find in the Bible, the different actions and words the Lord expects us to embrace and work through our lives, the different things He asks us to do, it's all connected. And there's some that are more abstract than others, but everything's connected, okay? So you must excuse me if you think that some of what I'm saying here is repetitive, okay? But often when we discuss specific topics, you know, sometimes we do sermons on a passage of Scripture called expositional sermons, or doing an exegesis, kind of just taking the specific passage apart and see what we can learn from that. And that's great. But then there's also a place for topical sermons where we look at a specific topic and we see what the whole Bible has to say on that topic. And that's important as well, because sometimes it's just easier to digest that way. And it's a bit more practical. We can put it to work quicker and it, you know, has a good effect in our lives. And so tonight, I'm picking up on a scripture that I mentioned last week, which is Romans 12 and verse 1, where we said that Paul writes there that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Okay. And we spoke about our calling. This is our life mission. for each and every one of us, which is a bit different. You like, you get given a mission like a secret agent. You've got a mission, and it's one mission for your life, and you got to make it happen. There's no one else who has exactly the same mission. Yes, you can learn from others. God will help you every step of the way. Now, tonight, we are saying yes. To accomplish the mission, you had to give your whole life. It's going to cost you your whole life to accomplish that mission if you want to be successful at it. And it's greater than what you can muster up and accomplish in your own strength. You're going to need God, and you're going to need supernatural power for most of the steps along the way, and certainly to achieve the goal at the end of the day. So you get that. Your whole life, Jesus gave his whole life, you give your whole life. That's a fair deal, isn't it? Okay. Except you're just giving one life, which is like a speck of dust if you look at the spectrum of eternity, and you actually get to live this life in exchange for this one short life. We might span 90, or as I say these days, a lot of us will reach 110 or something like that. When Johan mentioned medical research and everything, it's a long way to go for some of us, okay? You might be like, oh, 110, nuts. Okay, we're going to have to work till we're like 90. But then the Lord gave us an exchange for the short life, an eternity, eternal life with him. Okay, so it's the deal of your lifetime, okay? Living sacrifice, we got that right. So, which is our reasonable service? What I want to talk to us about tonight is in the area of serving. Okay, so it's a subsection. It's a quality, a character trait, it's an action, it's an attitude, it's a lifestyle. Matthew 25, verse 29, this is a scripture that was sticking by Charlene this year, and I may take that because Charlene and I are one, so I'm claiming it. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That is a rough scripture, isn't it? That's like, is that a loving God that said that? Those were Jesus' words. He was telling us the parable, the story of the servants who got given different talents, different amounts of money from their master, and they were expected to deliver a return on this by the time he came back. And he came back and he gave to the one 10 and the other 5 and the other 2 and the other 1. And everyone doubled pretty much what they received from the Lord, and they could give it back. And the master was very pleased. And he said, you know, you've been faithful little, I'll make you ruler over much. The guy who only received one gift, he went and buried it because he was too afraid that he will lose this. Okay. But unfortunately, the rule of rugby applies here, use it or lose it. And so the Lord comes back and he digs up this talent, this sum of money, and gives it back to his master, saying, well, I know you're quite strict and everything, and I didn't want to disappoint you, and here's your one talent back. And he said, well, I could have invested that in the bank and got an interest. I gave it to you to, you know, see what you can do with it. And so actually, you were just lazy, you were fearful, and I'm going to now take this talent, I'm going to give it to the one who has 10 talents, because he can accomplish more with that. So it's talking about a heart's attitude, and specifically he says, you wicked and lazy servant. I want to highlight the lazy bit, you know. And that is true, obviously, that he had other things going for him then. But very often we become couch potato Christians, because the Christian life, even though we're not exempt from challenges, is for the greatest part, it's a great life. You got this eternal joy that just can't be stumped by any challenge. When there is a challenge, you know who to go to, and he can overcome any obstacle. The Bible says we just need to look up at the mountains when we're in a difficult time, and we'll be reminded who to call on for help. The God who made that mountain, how much bigger is that mountain than your issue? God made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing's impossible with him. And we need him every step of the way. That's what the word says. So now, this is what I want to hold before us tonight. The whole issue of serving. And I don't want to call anyone lazier. I don't presume for one second that anyone is lazier. In fact, I know that we are all hard workers in this church. And I just want to encourage us tonight in this whole area of serving. Jesus, after all, was the example like he is in everything for us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, and Tobias and Kira were at intercession this week, and Tobias, basically, he had been meditating on that scripture through the week. And from verse 5 to verse 7, it builds up to that one point of servanthood. Okay, it says, we must have the mind that Christ had. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was God, but he made himself. He took on the form of a man. And it says they're taking the form of a servant. That's what it builds up to, those first three verses. It says, have this mind in you, and ta-da, 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 taking the form of a servant, full stop. Okay, so our Lord Jesus, he was king, and he came to earth, and he decided to live as a servant. He decided to serve us. In Mark 10, verse 45, it says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve. How much more? He's our king. No servant is greater than his master. How much more shouldn't we have that mind that was in Christ? Even as Paul writes, have that mind. Take on the form of a servant. We cannot ever consider ourselves too high and mighty to get our hands dirty. You know, to clean up a little bit, to lift up a chair, to, you know. We must take on the form of a servant. When Jesus went into the desert, after he was baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit, he got tempted by Satan, the three basic areas that we all will get tempted in, yet he did not sin. He did not succumb to the temptation. But he was tempted in every way, even as we are tempted. Now, the final temptation, he said, Satan invited him to bow down and worship him. And he promised to give him, you know, all the kingdoms of the world and so on. And Jesus, what Jesus said to him is quite telling and profound. Jesus' answer to him was, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He equates worship to servanthood. Now, our lives are meant to be given as worship unto the Lord. We are meant to live lives that bring glory unto God. The worship is like shining the spotlight on God. That is what worship. When you worship anything, it's like shining a spotlight on that. It's like zooming in. It's taking your focus is on that thing. That is what worship basically means. Our whole lives are meant to point to God, are meant to reflect the glory of Christ. Like the moon reflects the light of the sun at night, we are meant to be like a moon. Jesus is like the sun. He's shining. We're meant to just reflect that. That's quite amazing. And yeah, it equates worship to servanthood. So you want to know, how do I practically live out my calling? What is it going to mean? I'm telling you, you're definitely going to have to do stuff. Okay? You cannot fulfill your calling on the couch. Okay? Not a couch, no calling. Right. Calling equals no sitting on couch. So, we are called to build the kingdom of God. We are called to put our hands to work practically. If our faith doesn't have works, it's dead. That's what the Bible says. We don't do good works in order to get accepted by God, in order to get into heaven. He paid the price at the cross for us already. We do good works because he paid the price in gratitude towards him. Because our minds have been renewed and we realize we are not living for ourselves, but we are living to build his kingdom, to establish his kingdom on earth. So we can go and look at our diaries. You know, I don't know about you, but I have to keep a diary because I've got a lot of appointments and this and that, and I've got a lot of things that I've got to get done. If I don't write it down, I'm actually, you know, I'm just trying to be very diligent and everything to write things down because I don't want to forget something and, you know, someone gets hurt as a result and whatever. I make sure I write those things down. I cannot live without a diary. If you page through my diary, you better see stuff written down there that has to do with the kingdom of God and building his kingdom. And you will see that stuff. Okay, my life, when I gave my life to Christ, I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm going to try and do to the best of my ability with your help. And the Lord honors that, and he keeps me rather busy, but it's fantastic. I have no regrets. I love doing what I'm doing. I don't want to be anywhere else. Trust me. I love being here with you. And I didn't just love talking. It's enjoyable for me. It's not something that I ever wanted to do when I was growing up. I was scared of talking and everything, but it's something the Lord came and did in my life. But I love sitting with you. I love praying with you. I love teaching you anything that I know. I love socializing with you. I love helping to build the church and disciple people. That's a passion. I'm not always that good at it, but the Lord's helping me. Okay, and I pray that somehow my servanthood will be a blessing to you. But you'll look at my diary, and you'll look at my finances, my budget, and you'll see who comes first. You'll see who I'm serving. Your time, your money, your energy. Who are you serving? Whose kingdom are you building? We work very hard, but are we serving? Are we working hard for the Lord, or what are we doing? Okay, shake your neighbor and say, here we go. Let's wake up. It's varamiso. Okay, don't fall asleep, people. It's warm. But it's okay. I've got lack of water. Don't worry about me. Okay. Sorry, guys. You guys are welcome. I'm sorry I don't have water for everyone. There is water in the bathroom. If you have to run, you're welcome. But otherwise, maybe bring a little bottle of water or something. Give it in the summertime. It's lacquer. Okay. Basically, we are called to serve. I already mentioned that. Titus, just quickly a few verses. Titus 2, verse 14. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Pointing out the attitude that we should have. It's not like a drag. Oh, Lord, now I have to go to church again and make tea for some people. Come on. You know, it's zealous. I can't wait. Sunday's the best day of the year. And Wednesday night when we meet together at cell. And Tuesday night when we're going to do discipleship at Perspective. And this, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait till work on Monday so I can go and pray for my colleague who's still got a cough. I heard he's still got a cough. And I'm going to pray that thing. I prayed before, but now I'm going to pray again. I'm going to pray harder. You know, let's get zealous for this thing. Verse 3. Remind them to be ready to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. You know, ready. You're ready to go. To speak evil of no one. Peaceable general. Okay. Fast forward. Verse 8. Be careful to maintain good works. Okay. Sorry, it's very small there. Careful to maintain good works. Okay. Basically, we get encouraged here through Titus to continue serving. Our attitude should be one that embraces it, zealous to serve, looking forward to it. Now, Paul, in the first verse of Romans and the 10th verse in Galatians, right at the beginning, when he's greeting the people and everything, he sets the tone right there already. And those are very profound books. Romans, as I mentioned last week, referred often to as the manifesto of the Christian faith. He refers to himself there as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what a bondservant is? A bondservant was a type of a slave, but it's different to a slave in that a bondservant was a slave for life until his master dies. And there were stories that some of them, when their master dies, they actually climb into the grave with their master because they see their life is over. They feel their life's purpose is to serve that master. Okay? This was in biblical times. That's hectic. It's a bit like the other day I read something that Nelius wrote. He was talking about the Count of Monte Cristo. Ne? Nelius Zreg. Okay. And he said now, anyway, the one guy became the servant of the Count of Monte Cristo. And it was like for life. It's like, you know, because he spared his life. And so he said, you know, my life is yours forever. I will serve you and so on. It's a great movie. You can go and watch it. But a bondservant is then a servant by choice. Okay, that's the difference. It's for life, but it's by choice, out of love for the master. So that's the difference. A slave was bought, most likely doesn't really like what he's doing. A bondservant, doing the same work as a slave, he's doing it until his master dies, and then sometimes he'll even get into the grave with his master, and he'll end his life. But he does it out of choice, out of love for his master. Paul calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He recognizes his life belongs to Christ. He will dedicate his whole life to serving the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great example for us. Paul, we're not talking about Christ himself. We're talking about Paul, a mere man, flesh and blood like us. Not a deity, a fallible man. A man who's also tempted in every way that we tempted. A man who left a life of status behind. He was a murderer, persecuting Christians all over the place, and his life turned around like that. He became a bondservant. Now, something that I mentioned last week as well is that I believe our callings will find expression through the local church. We do not operate alone. We each get a unique mission, but in actual fact, we're not secret agents, so secret that we don't even know who the next agent is, okay? Fortunately, yes, from 001 to, you know, 065 or 070 or whatever, right here in front of me, okay? And we all know each other and we help each other. We do not work alone at this. And I, like I said, I believe each of our callings find expression through the local church because God determined us to have relationship with Him firstly and with each other. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And He instituted the church. And He said that we need each other. And He shows us through the Word. We're praying for each other. We are teaching each other. It's not one person who's doing everything. It's a body. It's active. Every cell is alive. You've got to ask yourself tonight, are you truly alive to the body of Christ through this church? Maybe before you even get there, and I mustn't say this too often. I don't want to chase anyone away. Already seems like there's five less people than last week. Okay. When I said it. But are you sure this is the church where you must be? You must pray about that. When you sign up as a member, because we don't do casual things. You're here today and gone tomorrow and I don't know where you are or whatever and you don't say goodbye. We do it a bit more formal than that. You're welcome to resign from the church. I'm not going to keep you against your will or anything like that. Okay. But it's because I've got a responsibility towards God to shepherd the people of this church. I'm one of the people that God is using in your life. I'm not the only one. I know that. Okay. But we do a membership form, and in the membership form, you acknowledge, it says there, do you believe that God in His wisdom and through His Holy Spirit led you to become a member of this church? It's not something that you take lightly. It's an important decision. Because if this is your church, then this is where God wants you to grow. This is where God wants to feed you your balanced diet, not hopping around from church to church. That's like eating KFC the one night, Steers the next night, St. Elmo's the next night. You're going to get sick after a few weeks. Amen? Okay. So this is where you're going to get a balanced diet. Because, yeah, God has some control over what He feeds you. Because God gives me a plan for the church and you know, a series of what He wants to say, and so on. I spend time with the Lord to find out what He wants to say here. But you jump around, you're not under any authority, you're a law unto yourself, different churches, you're going to get junk food diet. You need a balanced diet so that you can grow up properly for the Lord. And then this is the church through which God wants you to serve. Now maybe you've got gifts and talents that we don't currently have a ministry for where you can focus your talents and gifts 100%. I want you to come and talk to me about what your gifts and talents are. And we'll see what we can do to try and organize an outlet, a place for you to serve and bring that gift to the house. There's no place for dead cells in a body. We can't have any lame arms or something like that. The body has to function optimally. It's a living organism, and we've got a purpose to fulfill. I'm not going to crawl around on the floor here again, but basically, you know, if half the body is lame, we're not going to get very far. Okay, we need to come alive to God's purposes. Guess what? Through this church. If this is your church, God wants you to serve here. And what I want to tell you tonight is serving is not a bad thing. So often we think of it as a negative connotation because you think of servant, you think of someone who gets trod on, who gets spoken to badly, treated badly, earning minimum wage or no wage at all. This is what we think. That is not how God operates. Jesus became a servant. And so what I want to tell you tonight is that serving is blessed, and I'm going to talk about that in a second or so. But basically, we should think global and act local. Sometimes even we're kind of caught between different churches and this and that. And so it's like having your one foot in the one vision, because each church has a unique mandate within the bigger body of Christ. So every church is not a hand. There has to be a foot as well, and this and that, and an eye and a nose. Just like that's applicable within a church, that's applicable in the broader body. But now you're standing with a one foot in the church of the hand and another foot in the church of the foot. Okay, don't get confused here. Hands and feet. Okay, you get my drift. You are not going to function optimally because your focus is divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That church has a different purpose, and you, half the time, you're throwing in 50% there and 50% here. And you know what? You're not really effective anyway. I want you to decide where you want to be. Because not only is it going to be more beneficial to the kingdom and the church, but in your life as well. It gives you so much peace when you know this is where I'm meant to be. And when I'm making a difference and a contribution, yeah, that is valued. Instead of everyone wondering, man, that guy's only there half the time. You know, what's his deal? Is he now my brother or not? Okay. And we're all brothers here. We've got different mothers, but we've got the same father. Okay. And we need to start operating like a family. A family doesn't not pitch up for dinner or when we have a family meeting and not say anything. That's not family. If something critical happens, because family is right up there with the important things, if something critical happens, you phone and say, sorry, I can't make it. This and this happened. Please pray for me. So we don't just stay away. If we as a church are going to go somewhere, we got to do it together. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I want to be part of what's happening here. But if no one else comes, but there's always people here, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, let's make a commitment to come together and really to find out what does God want for us to do. We can only do that together. We can only go somewhere and accomplish something if there's unity here and if we're together. Okay. So we are family. We figured that out last year already. Okay, and that stays our foundation. But now this year, it's about getting to where God wants us to be. Individually, we need to get discipled and help each other get discipled. And that happens here, and that happens at small group. And that happens when we're socializing with each other. And then we need to get this church to where God wants this church to be. And that means reaching out to the people outside as well. And we're not going to do that. You know, and there's not going to be unity in the bigger body of Christ with all the different churches in this area if there's not unity in this church. One step at a time. Let's get ourselves individually on board. Then let's get this church gelling and moving forward. And then we can start talking to other churches about how can we work together. For Table View. Don't seek inter-church unity before there's not unity in your church. And if there isn't unity in your church, help make it happen. Help make it happen. Help talk to the guy next to you. If you're on board, help talk to the guy next to you and ask him, do you want to be on board or what's the deal here? How can I help you? Let's make it happen. Now, think global, act local. So what does serving mean? Okay. Get your hands dirty, put your hands to work. There are a lot of things that need to happen in our family to keep moving forward. And if these things aren't happening, if we're staying stagnant, actually we're going backwards. Because life is a bit uphill. And if you stop moving forward, you're starting to slide backwards. That's true for your individual relationship with the Lord. It's true for the church. We don't want to be a dead church. I don't want to play church. You know, I'm not doing this for a salary. Because if I had that attitude, like a lot of people that don't know the Lord and they're out in the world, they have that attitude. They want to see, what is the least work that I can do and still get my salary? If that was my attitude, then I would hope that no one's here on a Sunday and I can just go home straight away. That's not my attitude. I want to see this place full. Not because I've got personal ambition, but because I know God wants everyone to be part of His family. And that's my job, is to help make that happen. But it's not just my job, it's all of our jobs. I just happen to have the mic at the moment, okay? But we all have a voice here. So when you want to ask, how can I help make this happen? Where should I serve? What should I do? If you don't already know what is your gifting and what God wants you to do specifically in the here and now, how you convert your calling into what He wants you to do in this season, in this church, then the first question you can ask is, well, where does the church need help? Okay, it's a simple question. Gary Chapman, he wrote a profound book for married couples. You can read it if you're engaged as well. Very, very good book called The Five Love Languages. And he talks about it's important to communicate love, and he distinguishes five different languages. But what he says is you need to find out what is the love language of your spouse. You know, whether it's acts of service, gifts, quality time, affirmation, physical touch. People experience love in different ways. If I give Charlene a gift, she's not going to experience as much love as if I clear my schedule on the afternoon to spend time just with her, talking to her. Quality time is more her love language. Okay. So, you want to talk the church's love language. Then you find out, well, what does the church need? That's where maybe I can start serving. This now, if you don't know exactly what your gifting is and whatever. And there's different ministries in the church, so there's opportunities to learn different things. And you'll grow as an individual as well. And maybe it's just for this season. You know, I'm going to propose to you by the end of this night. I'm going to share with you the different ministries quickly in a nutshell. And I'm going to ask you to consider putting your name down. If you're interested, just even if it's just for more information on what does that ministry mean and so on, or to commit to getting involved in that ministry and helping in that ministry for a period of 6 months. Because if you're not doing it for 6 months, you're not really getting stuck into it yet. You're not going to get the gist of it. You're not really going to learn much. Okay, for 6 months. And if you like it, you can stay longer. If you want to do something else, you can move on to the next ministry. But it's something we do prayerfully. But you might already know by the end of tonight what you want to do. And there are forms at the back there. And you can put your name and your details down and I will contact you. Don't phone me. I will phone you. Okay. Then, because I'm going to be on the phone a lot in the next 2 weeks. Okay. Got 65 phone calls to make. I'm going to have those forms here for another two Sundays. Okay. So if you don't know tonight, I want to give you a chance to pray about it and ask God to show you, and He will show you. But if you didn't pray about it, or if you prayed and you feel you got conflicting messages, you didn't hear right or whatever, or you didn't get around to praying, then I'm going to phone you, because then I'm going to pray about where you should be. Okay. So maybe you want to do it yourself. All right. But otherwise, I will ask you, invite you. I'm not forcing anyone, but I'll invite you to get involved in a specific area that I feel led by the Lord where you should be at this moment. It doesn't mean like that is then your life calling and it's like, oh, come on, make tea for the rest of my life. No. Okay. So, that is the good news, people. If there was anyone who was wondering, but now, where can I get involved? I want to get involved in a few weeks' time. That's all going to be sorted out. And that's great, you know. Everyone has a place where they belong in the body. And it's wonderful to start serving. Let's talk a bit more about that. Then I'm going to get back at the end of the evening to the different ministries that we have. Firstly, we should challenge ourselves and change our mindsets when it comes to church and small group and every place when we come together. So often we come with an attitude, and it's because this is how we've been taught in the past. I'm just the congregant, you know, I must please not say anything because the minister must speak, and I must just listen and do, you know, apply that in my life somehow. Now, it cultivates an attitude of almost laziness and just receiving. When we come to church in small group, we should have the opposite attitude, one of giving. I come to give. Lord, I'm on my way to church now. Please prepare my heart. I'm open to hearing from you. I want to bless someone. I want to bless one of my brothers and sisters tonight in the church. I want to, Lord, give me a word or show me something or show me who I should go and pray for after the service. You know, I cannot, the church is already too big for me to pray for everyone and get away here before tomorrow morning. And no one's going to hang around that long. And that has happened before, where there's been too many people who want prayer and I'm still busy praying with the people, and then it gets too late and the other people leave already. And so we need people on board. We need people who are prepared to pray with other people. That's a simple thing. And with the small groups as well. In the small groups, more so, because we discuss what is happening. Everyone has a contribution. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an experience with God in that area. Don't think for one second that your opinion and your contribution is less than or invalid. You have a powerful contribution to make. Very often, the things we say, we don't even realize what it meant to someone who was listening. Often when I've shared with someone in a mall, a stranger, telling them about Christ and so on, sitting on a bench, you know, someone just growing old, waiting for their wife or something in the mall, and I'm sharing with them, and I see a guy on the bench behind me, he's just like leaning back his ear, and he's listening. And I know that guy is paying just as much attention as the guy that I'm speaking to. And who knows what went on in his heart during that conversation. And sometimes even that guy will tap me on the shoulder after this other guy goes and say, can you please pray for me as well? In the small group, you don't know what everything going on in your small group friends' lives. You don't know how your contribution can be really life-changing for them. We must go with the attitude to see what we can give. Because guess what? We've all received. We've all received the world through Jesus Christ. And we've got something to give. We're all unique, and therefore you've got something to give. You've got unique experience in life. Very, very important. We must go to give. Okay. Now, our vision, if I have to break it down into a few activities that we're going to do, and we don't have such a full calendar this year as last year. For those of you that were aware of the events last year, this year is less busy, but I want to make a bigger impact. Okay, so it's more focused. Now what we've got, what we're focusing on this year, I think is up there. We've got two family celebrations every week, and I call it that for a specific purpose. As you know, church and small group, family celebrations. That's kind of the heart that I want to carry across for these meetings. If you are not there, like I said just now, you're going to be missed because you are family. We even shifted the church time to accommodate those that are doing the Ironman Sunday mornings and the others that are coming back from Hermanus and whatever. Please, you would have come back anyway for work the next day. Maybe you would have come back at 6 o'clock. I'm asking you to come back 1 hour earlier because church is important. Church is important. If you didn't know it, family celebration. Then we've got our discipleship. That is one of the key words for this year, discipleship. As I said, you'll hear that when we're at the regional meetings and so on. It's about getting us from where we are to where God wants us to be. It's about imitating Christ, becoming more Christ-like, and it's practical. A disciple is a disciplined one. It's one who follows the disciplines and lives a life like Christ lived. And we need to teach each other. It doesn't come naturally, people. We need to renew our mind, and we need to put it into practice. Okay, we've got the five-part spiritual growth series. It starts next week, 1st of Feb. If you haven't started it, please start it. If you haven't done all of them, please make sure you put your names down for the ones you haven't done. It will change your life. You will come out the other end. Not that I'm promoting it as a voice machine, but you will come out the other end more like Jesus Christ. It's more like a type of a Jesus Christ machine, okay? You're not going to be perfect at the other end, but you're going to be more like Him. Then we've got some outreaches, because we're not just focused on ourselves. You receive, but we need a place to give. Otherwise, we become like a fruit dam, just water coming in, but nothing going out. Now, we're going to George in East London in the April long weekends, end of April. You need to put in like 2 work days leave to join us for that, and then it's like a week or whatever that we go, and we bless those congregations, those shofar congregations, and it's lekker to connect with them, and it's lekker to go and bless them through presenting discipleship programs and going to schools and stuff like that. And I promise you, the Gees is awesome, and you actually get more blessed than what they get. You are changed forever. You'll remember it forever. Afterwards, you'll see everything the Lord did in your life. It's awesome. And then in June, July, end of June, beginning July, we're going to Namibia. Windhoek and Swakopmund, and we'll have maybe a little holiday there in ice or whatever. Nice. We'll figure out some nice places in Namibia. So it's like a holiday mission. So I'm not going to drill you the whole time. Join us for that. That's going to be like, I don't know, 10 days or something. You'll get the exact details very soon, okay? So I want to invite you, don't just receive, you know, come to give, but also be part of the bigger sort of outreach opportunities, and you're going to grow. And then obviously we've got our community project from last year, same still, is the Home of Hope Children's Ministry, the foster homes, and they've just started a school as well for their kids. The kids have the fetal alcohol syndrome. A lot of the kids, they need special schooling. And Marlies and the people there at Home of Hope are doing amazing work, really to bless these kids and give them a future and a hope. So also, at the end of the service, Marlies also has Home of Hope donation cards and debit order forms. I encourage you, I welcome you, and invite you to partner with them as well, and that's different from your church tithe and everything. You guys know the drill. If you come to community, we explain more of that. But obviously, the Lord wants us to be extravagant givers, and we must give to where there's needs as well. And this is what we as a church are supporting. So go talk to Marlies about that. Marlies said something like 50 rand a month feeds a child for a week. 50 rand a month is breakfast for a month. Okay. So it really, together we can make a big difference. All right. I am moving forward. But also, talking about serving and talking about starting in the church and where's the need. Serving starts at home. Remember, think global, act local. The verse that I want to just share with you there is Galatians 6 verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 10. So it starts in the church. It starts with your believers. You got the Word of God is simple. The Word of God gives us direction. You never need to be confused. Guess why? God is not the author of confusion. He's not confused. He works with a plan. His plan never fails. You think, but the world is doomed and it's just there's no hope for the world. Well, guess what? Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago so that the whole world can have hope. And you better believe that God's plans don't fail. So He wants to tell us, rather, you're faced with a situation. There's an unbeliever and a believer. Hypothetical situation. They both need 50 rand to do something. Who do you help first? The Bible tells us, help your brother first, the believer. That's what the Bible says, so there doesn't need to be confusion. Okay. It's great if they can both get 25 bucks, but the Bible says, first do good to all, but first to the household of faith. first to your brothers. Okay, just in case there was wondering, you know, where should I invest my time and my energy, etc., etc. God partners with us in serving. He has given us gifts. You don't come here empty-handed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't come here just to receive. You come to give, and you can give because you have something to give. You have been blessed with gifts. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Use it or lose it, people. We need to use the gifts. God has given you gifts. Each of us are born with gifts. You get gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll learn more about that in the foundations and Bible school, etc. But you're born with gifts. Gifts of the Father specifically, and then gifts of the Holy Spirit you also receive upon filling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amazing supernatural gifts that you've been endowed with, and the Lord expects us to use it. Remember, He's more interested in your availability than your ability. He's looking for willing vessels, and He will use you. Philippians 2 verse 13, it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You say, Lord, I'm available. I want to serve you. Show me what gifts you've given me. Show me where you want to put it to work. You make yourself available. God will give you the desire. He will give you the ability to do the job. It's His kingdom you're building. You better believe He's interested in building His kingdom. You better understand He's keeping an eye over everything. He's orchestrating the things. He's just looking for willing agents. If you build a house and the builder doesn't rock up, you get another builder, but the house is going to get built. God is building His kingdom, and He's inviting you to build with Him. Finally, the final few ideas I want to share with us tonight is that serving, as I mentioned, is good for you. Serving attracts God's blessing on your life. Isn't it so amazing? He already gave us everything in His Son. Now He's also talking about rewards that He's going to give us in heaven one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. The Bible speaks of it at different times. That's not our motivation. It's a bonus. It's an add-on. It's an extra. It's mahala. It's wonderful. God blesses the servant. Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That is a universal law, and God honors that. You know, I decided when I came back to South Africa after getting saved, I just wanted to help build the kingdom. Lord led me to Shofar supernaturally, and I knew this is where God wants me. This is my family. And then I knew, because, I mean, I'm God's servant. I said, I'm going to serve you, Lord. And so I knew I'm going to serve in the church. I went to speak to the pastor that first Sunday, and I asked him, what needs to be done? What can I do? How can I help? Anything. He said, go and speak to Pastor Tuso and Kai Mundy. I went there. They needed someone like part-time for the year. I said, where can I sign up? And they said, you're hired, everything. Volunteer. I still needed some kind of an income. That same day, that was after I said yes, not knowing where I'm going to get an income from for petrol and whatever. The same day, God blessed me with a job as a nighttime manager at a coffee shop. The previous night, the other manager, and was actually the church, had an interest in the coffee shop as well. But no one, you know, God just brought everything together amazingly. The previous night, the nighttime manager got fired because he was like swearing at customers and so on. He now wasn't in the church and whatever. And they couldn't have that, obviously. And God orchestrated everything. But I first said yes. And through that channel, I ended up meeting the person that gave me the job that for the night. You know, where He leads, He feeds. Where He guides, He provides. You can think of another one. Okay. But yeah, was it no dough, no show? But it's the other way around with God. You show and then you get the dough. Okay. Anyway, but I'm not talking money stuff now. What I wanted to say is that God blesses you when you serve. He looks after you. You don't have to worry about it. You can, with great liberty, you can go and say, yes, I'm available. With great freedom, you can say, here I am. What can I do to help? Charlene and I met. Biggest gift after coming to know the Lord, my wife. And we met in that year when I was doing community work. We met. Both of us were serving the church, doing service years for the church. She was at the office doing volunteer work, and I went to the office to fetch clothes that people had brought, donations and stuff, and that's where we caught each other's eye. God's provision is in His house, people. The work that He has for you in the house, the provision in the house. You can trust our Father. It's amazing the peace of God that comes along with knowing you are doing what He's asked you to do. You are fulfilling the mandate for your life. The peace that comes along with that. It's amazing how that frustration, the confusion just dissipates and you just enjoy the peace of God. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9 says, Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow into the kingdom of God, you will reap eternal rewards. I mean, that deal is out of this world. You want that. Okay. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We mustn't grow tired of serving. Remember, be zealous to do good works. Be ready to do good works. Maintain good works. Titus, remember the scriptures that we shared initially. If you do not lose heart, if you don't grow weary, you will reap the rewards. God is no man's debtor. You build His house, He will pay you handsomely. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about eternal rewards here. I'm talking about things that money can't buy, like peace, like a clear conscience, like love, like joy, like a wife. Okay? These are good things. Okay? I want to encourage you. John 12, verse 26. This is the best. Hold on to your seats. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Okay, a follower is a servant. You can't separate the two. If you follow Jesus, if you truly follow Him, you're going to be serving. If you're not serving, you've got to ask yourself, am I following Him? Where I am, Jesus says, there my servant will be also. A servant is close to his master. A servant is at his beck and call. A servant knows his master's call and his voice. A servant gets to sleep under the same roof as his master. A servant gets to be in his master's house and gets to serve him, gets to spend time with him. Continues the last bit of that verse. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Wow, that's an amazing promise. And I can testify in my life that has been the case. I've purposed to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose from day one when I came to know Him, which wasn't a long time ago. Now, it's starting to sound a bit longer, but 8 years, but it's not really a long time. And the Lord has honored me and He's done stuff in my life that I could never imagine. Blessed me beyond comprehension. And I'm no one special. He's not a respecter of person. He will bless you. He will honor you. You that are sitting here that maybe think, but you're not worthy. You don't have any purpose. What can you do to contribute? Who are you that God should care about you? Look what you did. No. You stay close to Jesus. You serve the Lord Jesus. And He will honor you and He will bless you. Because He loves you and He showed that already at the cross. So serving is awesome. You get blessed. You're busy serving. You get blessed. God blesses you with spiritual rewards. He looks after you in every way that you can imagine. The Bible says, never seen the righteous go hungry. God looks after His servants. You see, because we are children of God. It's like God is love and He's our Heavenly Father. But we're also His servants, because Jesus is also our King, and our Lord, and our Master. So there's different aspects to our relationship with God. And in this church, we're going to learn about all of those. Tonight, we're talking about Jesus as our King and us as His servants. That has to be in place as well. We need to relate in that way as well. That's why you respect your King. We know He loves us. And we can be informal with Him, but we're not casual with Jesus. We don't kind of throw Him around like we want to, or leave Him outside the door of the house when we feel like it, you know, just call Him when we need Him or whatever. You can be yourself, you can be informal, but you're not casual with Him. You respect Him because He's not only family, He's your King. Amen? So you're getting blessed as the servant. The people that you are serving are obviously getting blessed directly. You're helping someone. Indirectly, the other people in your life are also getting blessed, because as you're serving, the Lord is blessing you with spiritual gifts and rewards, and you're becoming more like Christ. And if the more you become like Christ, the more everyone in your life gets blessed. Everyone needs more of Christ in their life. And finally, God also gets blessed when you serve. As I mentioned, faith without works is dead, right? So now we're serving their works. Our faith is alive. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So we are showing our faith through our works. We are pleasing God. He's happy because we are serving. And then we're also bringing glory to His name amongst people that we will never maybe get to know their names. Matthew 5 verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, when you step out and say, but I'm not here for my own purposes or to build my own house anymore. I'm here to build the Lord's house. I'm here to see His kingdom come. I'm going to put my energy and my time and my finances. I'm going to make sure that God's number one, and I'm going to serve His purposes. When you step out in that way and you say, Lord, I want to be your servant, create in me that servant attitude. I want to be zealous for good works. I want to see where can I help? What can I do for you, Lord? When you step out in that way, literally everybody gets blessed. That's what I was just trying to say now. Everyone, even God Himself. You see, so can one person make a difference? Yes, one person can make a difference. Because if you're not serving and God is not getting blessed like that, then God is just a little less blessed, a little less pleased than what He should be the whole time. You can make a difference in heaven, right here on earth, by serving. And you can make a difference in people's lives for eternity by serving. And I want to invite you to serve. Like I said earlier, I'm going to just run through a few things. As I said, that as a church, different ministries that we have. And if you don't know where to start, some places that I can encourage you to think about, to consider, is firstly children's church. We are in desperate need of children's church teachers. Especially maybe if you're a parent of a toddler or something, you can just maybe decide to help with that as well. Because you're obviously good with kids. You've got a lot of experience already. Children's church. Okay, then ministry facilitator. I was talking about the need that we have for people who are prepared to pray with other people for their needs and so on after a service, as an example. Ministry facilitator, secondly. Then something that's very important to me is our prayer meeting Thursday nights here at 7 till 8:15. It's not a long time out of your week. Hour and a quarter to pray together as a church. Prayer is powerful. We spoke about that last year. But I really would like people to become, you know, part of the regular crowd that comes to pray together. If we're not praying as a church, you know, we're never going to know what God wants us to do. Okay, so prayer is the other one. Those three, I would say, are the main areas of need at this moment. Children's church, ministry facilitation, and the prayer group. Then some other areas, I want to do things a bit differently, if we can, this year than what we did last year. Last year, we had the small groups taking turns to do ushering and so on in the kitchen and the tea table. And it's good because everyone got exposed to what happens in church and everyone got opportunity to serve. And we were small, so we had to kind of operate in that way. For various reasons, it made things a bit easier. But what I'd like to see us going into the next phase now, where we've got people who have a passion for something to do that thing, people who really want to be there. I want to see more smiles. That's what I want to see. When we're serving, we're smiling. You know, if we're not smiling, then we don't quite have that zeal for serving that the Lord encourages us to have. So, for instance, with the ushering, I want people that have like that hospitality thing going, that welcoming spirit. They enjoy meeting new people, outgoing and whatever. You know, you want to see those people have a natural tendency to be good welcoming committee at the doors and so on. Okay? Excuse me for this kind of bit of admin now, but this can change the church hectically if we get this thing right. Okay, so ushering. The other ministry, you know, is the tea table, organizing the tea stuff. And maybe even, you know, like the traditional churches, they've got it right. They got a good thing there where, you know, they got people offering other people tea and so on. And it's lekker. You feel welcome. You don't have to go and scratch around and try and find your own stuff. You got people committed, dedicated. I want to give you the best cup of tea you've had all week. Okay? Now that's the kind of service that I like. Right, service with a smile. So, ushering, tea table, info table, people that got to add, they're good with admin and so on. They make sure if you sign up that you also put the right phone number down there and so on. You know, that's a practical thing. We need that. You need someone friendly back there as well. Multimedia, Johan on the laptop there. You know, we've got, and like I say, I'm so grateful for everyone who's helped in this area. I'm so grateful. Okay, but I want to give people opportunity who have a passion for that thing to grow in that and to serve there. And maybe you've been doing one thing, but actually you would like to do another thing. I want to give you that opportunity. Okay, we can diversify here. We can, you know, go into the different divisions. Sound mixing. You know, Brother Emmy is so faithful every week. And he assures me that even if he's sick, he's going to come. You know, he's so amazing. Thank you, Emmy. Now, but we need Emmy to train someone else up as well. You know, in a few years from now, hopefully we'll plant another church up the coast or in Milton or somewhere, okay? But we need people, we need more people that can do sound, and it's great. You learn how to mix and, you know, DJ can do this, okay? Sound mixing. Then the worship team. You know, our worship team is small at the moment, but they're awesome, and we love them to bits. We'd love to have more. So then the more people for each ministry, the more the people can rotate, the more they can learn from each other. Then they also don't get burnt out because they're not on every week and such and such. Okay. I promise you I will not burn you out, and you have open channel of communication to tell me, look, you know, I want to commit, but I can only commit every fifth Sunday or whatever it might be. You know, we're going to talk about this thing. Okay, so don't be scared that I'm going to sign you up and I'm going to hold a sword over your head. Not that. Okay, I'm a nice guy, remember. Okay, then the announcements. You know, Rob did so well tonight with announcements, holding the mic close to the mouth. We can hear you nicely and all these things. Now, I want to give you an opportunity. You want to grow in boldness and public speaking because, you know, it will help with your work as well and will bless the people in church. I want to give you an opportunity. You know, maybe you need to overcome some fear and whatever. I'll first work with you separately. But, you know, we get you up here. I want to see fresh faces. And the old faces, I love them as well. But let's get it going. We're a church. We work together. Okay, the flower ministry. Baie dankie Tannie Rihanna. Like prachtig in Oom Johan. That's from the garden. If you want any gardening tips, forget Keith Kirsten, Oom Johan. Okay. Uitstekend. But, you know, if they bring the flowers every Sunday, soon they will not have a garden at home. Maybe some of us want to say, no, but I want to bring flowers once in 6 weeks or something like that. You guys are welcome. It's lekker. Then maybe instead of cookies, we can like step it up a notch and have some lekker chocolate cook, you know, or something like that. Maybe there's someone, they love baking, and they're just itching for someone to taste their new recipe. Please bring your cake. Let me know before the time that I won't buy cookies. Okay. This was lekker. Apparently, Shofar Cape Town grew where they planted a second church now already. And Pastor TNC puts it down to the cake. He says the cake had a lot to do with it. People come for cake. All right. I'm just going to throw that in there. And I like it as well. Okay. And really, Christian has a problem with cookies. If he sees a box, he's like, cookie! We need to get rid of the cookies. Okay. I don't want him to have an issue with cookies one day. All right, so let's get some cake in here. Then also, in our small groups, you know, we're always looking for people that want to step up and be ready to facilitate and so on. If you're interested in becoming a small group facilitator, you can also put your name down at the back. Within the small groups, we need people that are ready to be hosts. You know, come have it at our house and we're going to make it nice for you and whatever. We need people to do admin. You know, the small groups has little announcements or we're planning to do this thing as a group and whatever. You need someone like an admin person. You need someone maybe to who puts up their hand, I want to organize like the food for the small group, or that the three of us want to do the food every week or every third week or whatever it might be. You know, literally, you guys can think of different things that would enhance our family and make life a little nicer for everyone. Okay, so there's also, we get people that want to visit the small groups, and they need to be invited and phoned and maybe get sent directions. Maybe the first time, go and pick them up and bring them. You know, go and meet them a few days before they come to the small group, so at least know someone there. You know, we've got to think ahead of these things. It's daunting to be the new person at a little home group. I'd be scared to go. You know, I came to Shofar and I was eager to get to the small group, but praise God, I already knew the small group facilitator from before I knew the Lord. We both skriked so groot when we saw each other at the church, but it's amazing, and it makes it easier when you know someone. So like small group follow-up. So for all the things I've mentioned now, there are separate forms at the back. You can put your name down, telephone number, email address, and I'll get in touch with you. If you don't know now, the next 2 weeks it's still going to be there. Otherwise, I'm going to phone you. Literally, I will. And some of you, I'll come and visit you maybe even. Okay. Okay, and then I'll come taste your cake. All right. So, I also just want to add to that every different function is equally important for a church to work optimally. We need to work together, and we need people in every ministry. And it is a ministry. If you're doing it out of love, then someone on the receiving end, because there's always someone on the receiving end, they will experience love. Then it's a ministry. Then it's doing God's work. Then you're sharing something of God's love through your gift and through that serving with that individual. And they go home knowing a little more about the love of God than if you weren't there and if you didn't help them. So I view it absolutely equal, all the different ministries. There's no ministry that is more significant than another one or inferior to another one or whatever it might be. Everyone is equal. What do you guys think of that? Are you guys eager to see where you can get involved? Do you believe me that you will be blessed by it? Yes, amen. I promise you, I started serving straight away. I still had a lot of undealt with issues in my life when I came into the church. You know, the Lord didn't deliver me from everything straight away. But in serving, when my focus is not on my own problems, but I'm helping someone else, the Lord just supernaturally deals with my issues. And at the end of that my first year of serving, the Lord delivered me from a multitude of things that I didn't even realize he was doing in my life at that time. Building strong character and all of that. You're going to be blessed by it. So let's stand together. I'd just like to pray for us tonight and just trust God to come and galvanize and cement in our hearts as we acknowledge now our desire to serve. That we're not going to decide tomorrow, but I'm not so sure about this thing. I'm pretty sure church is just all about me. No. We trust the Lord tonight that He will show us, where do I belong in the body? Because church is about Jesus, and all of us are His servants, and we're all here to help serve the kingdom. So Lord, I just want to thank You for tonight. Thank You that we can just get excited about this year all over again, Lord, and where we're going to get involved, Lord. We are not just spectators here, Lord. We are on the field, Lord. We're running and we're jumping and we're doing, Lord, Your work. We are building Your kingdom, Lord. Let us have that same mind that was in Christ and take on the form of a servant. I pray that You'll settle this in our hearts tonight, that You have called us also, amongst many other things, to serve Your purposes and to serve through the local church. I pray, Lord, that You'll just come and confirm to us that this indeed is the church where You want us to serve, if that is the case. And Lord, that You'll also reveal to us the specific ministry and area where You want us to serve in this season, knowing that it is just as beneficial to us as to anyone on the receiving end. Thank You that we can serve You, that we can experience something of that significance, Lord, of our destiny, Lord, through serving Your church. Thank You, Lord God, that we can mean something to someone else. Thank You that we're part of Your family. Thank You that we can build Your house. Thank You, Lord, for the rewards that You even want to bless us with. Aside from the fact that You've given us everything in Your Son. So we thank You, Lord. Lord Jesus, that You are our King. Our King who died for us. And Lord, it's our desire to live a life of service unto You. Because we love You. I pray that You'll bless each one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.